friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Get the latest Browns news, I should say, from Browns practice throughout the week. Right now on our YouTube channel, Daryl Ryder recaps each and every practice and game while featuring the best highlights from coaches and players during media availability, as long as on-the-field action. So subscribe to 92.3 The Fan's channel on YouTube right now. Get all the latest from Daryl Ryder on the Browns throughout the entire football season. He's also been covering guard stuff. There's good calf stuff up there as well from Daryl. He's been covering everything that's going on around Cleveland. So make sure you're seeing it on YouTube.
That's Dan Manigan. I'm Jeff Phelps. If you're coming downtown, listen closely. We have an issue.
So we've had a few major accidents this morning. I-90 East at the Carnegie exit was previously all lanes closed. They have reopened. However, there's still very, very heavy traffic coming in. So if you're coming in from the west side, you might want to take the Shoreway instead because 90 East is still backed up there. On 77 North at the East 14th Street exit, all lanes remain blocked there. So if you're coming up 77, don't even bother to find an alternate route because as of right now, I-77 North is still all lanes blocked, completely closed, getting into downtown.
All right. Good luck with that one. That's not good. You can cut over on 480 and come up 176. Right? That might not be a bad way to go if you're coming up from the south, or get off at the Brecksville Merge and just cut through the city.
Yeah. Find all of your back ways that you can think of. You can even get off at 71, cut 25th the whole way down.
Yep.
Take public transportation, the Rapid, if you're able to.
Public transportation does wonders as well.
Or pull off and go to a bar and pull up a television.
All of those are good answers.
We have all kinds of things going on today. Dylan Gabriel just spoke. Browns starting quarterback. We're going to check in with our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, who was standing there when Dylan was speaking. Daryl's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. And the Guardians have to win today. That's it. They have to win today. If they don't, the season's over. And it hammers home why I just can't stand the three-game series, Dan. You play 162, any major league team can beat any other major league team in a three-game series.
100% correct. I can't stand it either. It feels like you just ran a marathon and you've decided that the best way to determine the winner of the marathon is on a 100-meter dash. It's two completely different races, two completely different ways to run, two completely different mindsets. That's where they are right now. And their solution is, all right, Chase DeLauter, get on out there. We've been in this position all year where we've been relying on people that we're not 100% sure are as good as they are, and we're just going to launch them into the fire and hope for the best.
You know the bad thing about it? You can't sit here and say, Chase DeLauter, Stephen Vogt's a moron.
Yeah, we can't play Aaron Boone.
You can't say that.
You can't scream at him like he's Aaron Boone and go, you left Giancarlo Stanton on the bench? You left Jazz Chisholm on the bench? Because those guys don't exist for the Guardians on the bench.
We're not going to hear this. Wait a minute. You left John Kenzie, Noel, Jonathan Rodriguez, and Angel Martinez on the bench? That's not gonna fly.
Speaking of total inside baseball, I'm 99% sure that Stephen Vogt told Austin Hedges, do not swing. Walk up there, hold the bat, do not swing. And I think that's how he got two walks.
There you go. Let's go to the... Let's check in with our man in Berea and our man for everything. He's Daryl Ryder. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. D, we're bouncing back and forth today. We got two biggies going on.
And we would always tell Daryl to swing.
Hi, Daryl.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to race to get out of here to get to the ballpark for the game.
Beautiful. Drive safely. Just for the record, you are taller than Dylan Gabriel, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I can confirm I am taller than Dylan Gabriel. So.
And you're not six foot tall, right? Or are you at six?
No, I'm 6 feet even. So.
Okay. The young guy sounds like a starting quarterback. He says the right thing. I love the fact that he didn't answer the question, when did you find out? Because that could have led to, you know, stories that would have thrown Kevin under the bus. He also immediately said, oh, glad you asked about Jerry Jeudy, and just pumped hot air up his wide receiver, which I think is That's what you're supposed to do, right, Daryl?
Yeah, that's a veteran move on his part. So, and especially considering Judy is coming off a very rough game in which he did very little to help Joe Flacco keep his job, right? So I thought Dylan Gabriel handled it. Let's put it this way. If he handles Sunday's game in London as well as he handled the questions today, the Browns will be in good shape.
What did you make of Joe Flacco saying he didn't see this coming?
What's he supposed to say? I was expecting to get benched.
I mean,
yes.
Yeah, or maybe
he should have
played kind of crummy lately. I guess this isn't totally a shock.
Yeah, I don't read too much into that. I mean, obviously any player doesn't expect to get benched or want to be benched or, you know, anything like that. So I don't read a whole lot into that either, other than just, you know, he knows where they're at. They're 1-3, as he talked about. They are 31st in scoring. They're 27th in total overall offense. They're minus in the turnover battle. So, I think that, he's no dummy. He's been doing this a long time. So I don't know that he's all that shocked by it, but clearly he's disappointed, as he should be.
Daryl Ryder joining us. Joe Flacco has thrown the second most passes in the NFL. He has the second lowest completion percentage. If you're Kevin Stefanski, are you having Dylan Gabriel throw that many passes?
No. No, not at all.
What are you going to do?
Run the ball.
Yep.
You know, get Quinshon Judkins 20 carries. Maybe get him 5 passes coming out of the backfield, but get him about 25 touches. Mix Dylan Sampson in there. Mix Jerome Ford in there. But, yeah.
Okay. You and I are on the same page.
All three of us are on the same page. So,
it's pretty obvious what they need to do, right?
Well, it is to us.
If the three of us
Daryl
can figure it out.
Hard to figure it out, no matter how hard they try to make it to figure it out, but
how close do you believe we are to seeing Jack Conklin on the field in London, and asking because you're going to bring in a left-handed quarterback and it would be really nice to have a strong right tackle for a left-handed quarterback?
No idea. I mean, he's been day-to-day for 3 weeks. He's missed 3 straight games. And the fact that he said that Myles Garrett is day-to-day with the ankle injury, that's not great either.
Here's the thing. I know what day-to-day means. Day-to-day means that, like, I don't know, you're close. You're not that far away. It doesn't mean that you're weeks out. So Kevin Stefanski's and I's definition of day-to-day are completely different.
How close is Isaiah Bond to being ready to be a contributor on a steady basis? Because Cedric Tillman's out.
I don't think he's close, but that's just me. I've not been impressed all that much. But they don't have a choice, right? I mean, they have what they have, which isn't much. So, I certainly would not make that guy a feature, but they're going to have to. They're going to have to get him the ball. They're going to have to see if he can get on top of defenses and use that speed that they love so much. But, you know, that's just where they're at.
If Daryl Ryder was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, would you have made this move to put Dylan Gabriel in here?
No. I would have waited. I would have waited 2 more weeks till Miami. This is a short week. They're not going to have a full practice today. They got to hop on a plane and go to London tonight. They're going to have a walkthrough-ish type of thing tomorrow. They'll have their Friday practice Friday. Walkthroughs on Saturday. Like, this was not the week to do it, in my view. But and certainly have him come home and then travel to Pittsburgh, where they have not won a game in that building since the Clinton administration. Actually, it's like 2002 or 2003 in a regular season. I'm setting aside the COVID playoff game. Like, yeah, I would have waited, but I did like the firehouse analogy that Dylan had when we talked to him. He said, you know, buddy, text him a picture of a firehouse with the doors open. You got to always be ready for the call. And well, the call's been made, so he's got to be ready. And they're really throwing him into the fire.
When you saw him in the preseason, you've seen him during practices, you've seen him in very, very limited regular season. What do you like about Dylan Gabriel?
He can evade pressure, I guess. I didn't like the pick when they made it. I did not like the way he performed during the offseason and during training camp. He did, though, show you a couple of things during the preseason, but that's also the preseason. So I certainly rooting for him. Hopefully he is able to go out there and play well. Hopefully he's able to, stabilize the quarterback position. But I do feel like the height is an issue. I do feel that the Browns' offensive line and their tackle situation is an issue. So I don't know what to expect for him Sunday. I certainly am not expecting that he's going to go out there and just radically change the offense or radically infuse this offense with a bunch of yards and a bunch of points and things like that, only because I think that's unfair. He is a third-round pick. Like, let's not forget that. I want to be fair to him when it comes to my expectation. And right now, I honestly, I don't have a lot of expectation for him because I just don't think it's fair. But he is the starting quarterback, so I have to treat and evaluate what I say based on the fact that he's now the starting quarterback, right?
Darrell, if they have to make another change at starting quarterback, and I don't mean as a backup. I understand Joe's the backup. If something happens to Dylan, if he's ineffective, if he's injured.
They go back to Joe. I think they go back to Joe. Yeah, I don't think that the organization feels that Shedeur Sanders is ready for this yet. I think that's part of the reason why. It's twofold why Joe Flacco's the backup, okay? One, it's the captain thing, the leadership thing, all that, right? And then the other part of that is that Shedeur isn't ready.
Okay. All right, buddy. Hey, you might not have heard there's some traffic issues downtown. So
there's like two nasty accidents here.
You're heading downtown, right?
Yeah, I'm by the airport right now.
Okay, so. Well, just be careful because seriously, there are some traffic issues with highways closed. Make sure you're not on one that is.
Oh, well, which ones are closed? So I know not to go on those.
90 heading eastbound. So you might want to get off. You're coming up Berea. Get off 71 a little earlier before you get downtown.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll sneak over to 490 and get off at Broadway. How about that?
We're just here to help, pal.
You know what? I appreciate the tip. I would have had no idea. I would have been sitting in traffic all afternoon. So
we're looking out for
you. We look out for people on this show.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Big time assist on your part. All right, guys, we'll talk.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Bucks means that Chris Rose is joining us right here on The Fan. Let's get right to it. Chris, welcome, my friend.
What's up, dude?
Thank you. Are we talking Cavs training in the state of Florida? Is that what we're up to?
The Bradenton Cavaliers will be back in town next week, so we're all good to go.
Oranges all around.
Got it. Let's do it.
Let's start football. Dylan Gabriel, named starting quarterback. Dylan had his press conference, sounds like a starting quarterback. We hope he plays like one. What did you think of the move and the timing of the move?
Well, I told you last week I thought that by the time the Browns played their next game in Cleveland that he would be the starting quarterback, so that got moved up 2 weeks. Doesn't surprise me. Listen, when the owner of the team comes out at his introductory training camp press conference and says, we are going to have to look at our two young guys, you're going to look at the two young guys. And if your veteran quarterback at 40 years old is going to be turning over as much as he is. And we know it's not all Joe's fault. We get it. We've all watched a ton of football. We know that every play isn't well done by the quarterback, and it isn't, the turnover's not always because of the quarterback. But this offense is limited with him back there. It's limited, period. But there are no easy six-yard gains with him, with his feet. I mean, last week there was a play where, 30 other quarterbacks are easily getting a first down, and he slides short. And I'm not blaming him. He's 40 years old. The fact that he's still playing and can spin it like he can is remarkable. But this team needs to be able to get some easy first downs. And when you can't do that and sustain drives, then you have to look elsewhere.
Chris, it's also baffling to me that they've been throwing the ball 45 times a game in a chunk of these. Like, do you see that changing with Dylan Gabriel at the helm? Do you think there'll be a recommitment to the run game, or is Dylan Gabriel going to run out there and throw it 40 times a game?
Well, last week we were down 34 to whatever, 10. I mean, you're not going to run the ball. I mean, sometimes the game flow dictates you got to throw the ball. I mean,
100%, dude. Absolutely. But the Green Bay game is a perfect example. They threw it 36 times in that game.
Second most pass attempts in the league for Joe.
I know, but we were also down 10-0 late in the third. So once again, I understand it. Like, but we don't run the ball great. I mean, we run the ball okay. I like Quinshon Judkins. I like the way that he reminds me of Chubb from the standpoint of that he's always moving forward. And, you know, a guy like Jerome Ford will drive you nuts because he's always looking for the 60-yard home run. And then you give him the ball on first down and it's second and 13, and all of a sudden you're screwed. Whereas Nick Chubb used to get you 3.5 to 4 yards on a play, which looked like it should get one, and it just puts you in better position. And I think Judkins has a little bit of that in him. But I think you're going to see more of a quarterback on the move. I mean, I hate to simply equate him to Tua because he's left-handed, diminutive, and Hawaiian, but I will for a second. I think that that's where he maxes out talent-wise, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think what you're going to see is a lot of movement by him. He can throw the ball, but you can roll him both directions, I think, and throw the ball okay. The thing I worry about with him is over the middle, and he did this a lot in the preseason, is that he'll overshoot guys. And Tua has a huge problem with that as well. I think that's what you're kind of going to be looking at. That's kind of my scouting report moving forward. But I'm excited to see him play. I can tell you this, guys. When I talked to him for the first time in the preseason when we did our production meetings, we met with him for about 20 minutes, and I was like, that's a rookie?
Yeah.
Like he doesn't talk like a rookie, and I think he'll be able to command a huddle, and that's a big part of the first step of this process.
Chris, we said the same thing in hearing his press conference within the last hour or so. The guy's been there, done that in college. We'll see if he can be there and do that in the pros. And if he can, well, then we have some conversations ahead. Let's go baseball. Our team is in a do-or-die situation. You win or the season's over. That's pretty simple. Yesterday, you went up against Tarek Skubal. If Skubal's on, you can't make mistakes. They made three big mistakes. They lost the baseball game. What was your impression of how they played yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, when you're going against the best starting pitcher in baseball, every 90 feet is magnified. And so that was tough when Johnny Rod, you know, there's a ball that's got top spin on him. It came out kind of hot there, and he misplayed it. And that 90 feet, you know. And then Gavin, I thought, made a pretty good pitch to Torkelson, who just got enough on it to get it over Arias's head, and it's 1-0. And then you're like, oh, God, really? And the Noel stuff is, I'm sorry, that's inexcusable. I know that it's a hot shot, and you're fighting to get back to the bag. But, you know, I put out a little video post-game, and first of all, Skubal's ridiculous, because the reason he's so good is because he can beat you in the strike zone. A lot of good pitchers have to get you to chase and all this sort of stuff. He can come right at you and say, go ahead and hit it if you can, and you can't. I would love to have seen a really good lineup against him yesterday to see how many runs they would have been able to scratch across, because I don't think it would have been very many more than we got. The Jose thing, guys, I don't have a problem with it. I just don't. I don't, because if he goes back to third, you need a rookie in his playoff debut to get a two-out hit. Not a fly ball, nothing. To me, the mistake was made earlier in the inning when Jose got to third. I would have pulled Valera back and put Schneeman in, because at the very least, he's a bunting threat, and he's one of the few guys that can bunt. Like, we're not a great bunting team. As little as we do offensively, like, we're not a good bunting team. Kwan, Hedges, Rocchio from the right side, not the left, and Schneeman. That's it. Nobody else can really bunt on that team. And that's okay. That's not how the game's played. The Tigers had five sacrifice bunts all year. They had two yesterday. So that's, you know, you just have to, I thought that was a little mismanaged in my opinion, but we were right. I suppose the good news is we're right there. And today, let's go.
Joining us on the fan hotline, Chris Rose, Dugout Discussions is where you can see him / hear him. Baseball Today, every day on John Boy Media as well. And of course, and moving along the way.
And every week right here on the fan.
And every week right here, right?
Which is always a good thing.
Right on the fan.
Chase DeLauter makes his major league debut, and he's your starter in center field. And Dan and I have been kicking it around, and we thought Angel Martinez is hitting like 178 over the last 2 months. Why not, Chris? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Why not? I mean, when I read it was a possibility on Monday, I was like, ooh, okay. Yes, why not? I'm 100% for it. The last time Casey Mize came into Cleveland, he shoved. Seven shutout innings. He's not a huge strikeout guy, but he moves the ball around and is coming off one of his best starts as a big leaguer. That's according to Tarek Skubal, not me. Skubal knows a lot about pitching, I think. And he was really good in Boston last week. I watched a lot of that game. So we're going to have our work cut out for us. But the thing I like about the young guys that are in our lineup is that a lot of them do give good at-bats. And that, I think that was the biggest problem I had yesterday. I understand putting Johnny Rodd out there. I really do. Like, it worked on Saturday. You know, he got us back in the game after we were down 1-0 after the top of the first. And I think they were trying to build on that momentum. The Noel thing, guys, I can't justify it. And it goes back to, and I hate to talk about this, and I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to stop myself now, and I'll save it for whenever that offseason happens. Hopefully it's after a parade.
I agree completely. I was screaming it yesterday that whoever takes over at first base next season needs to spend the entire offseason working on footwork and playing first base, because what we have seen from everybody who isn't named Carlos Santana this year has been mind-numbing.
No, I think C.J. Kapus, I don't agree with that. I think C.J. Kapus is a really good, dependable first baseman. But the problem is that, well, first of all, Manzardo, it looks like it's the first time he's ever trying to catch a ball over there. Like, when Arias throws it, I think he's going to knock his mustache off half the time. And then, you know, Kapus is a good defender. But, you know, my point was yesterday in my diatribe was that Jonkenzie Noel can be on a playoff roster. He can be there to strike lightning in a bottle and come off the bench and hopefully you get your Luke Weaver moment. He can't be there to have four at-bats against the best pitcher in baseball. That's all I'm saying. And I know that people say, well, what do you know? That's just my opinion. I'm telling you. I don't have to have worked in a restaurant in order to talk about a meal.
That's a good point.
You've eaten a lot of meals over the years.
What are you saying?
I'm saying if not, you'd be dead.
On the elliptical, I just got that in. I'm all sweaty.
You'd be dead if you haven't eaten meals. I give Stephen Vogt a lot of credit. It's what he's done has worked, and he's relying on his pitching. I get it. I think he's done a really commendable job, and I kind of admire his guts on some of this stuff, Chris. You know, I mean, this is a gutsy move playing Chase DeLauter. His options aren't great, but it's a gutsy move.
Of course it is, and let's go do it. The season isn't going to be a disaster if we lose today, folks. That's not the way I look at it. Now, do I want it to continue? Absolutely. Will it chat my ass if Detroit comes in here after we did all this hard work over the last several months to, you know, make baseball history in divisional play? 100%. But they've given me thrills. I mean, I was ready to turn the page at the end of July. I mean, I was still locked in. I still watch every game because I'm a sicko and I've indoctrinated my family that grew up in Los Angeles to root for Cleveland teams this way. But this is what we do, and we've reaped the rewards of it. Like, yeah, it's going to suck if we don't win, whether it's today or in the divisional round or the ALCS or the World Series. But I can tell you this, I'm really proud of what this group has done. We could sit here and bitch and moan about ownership and not spending money and the lack of a right-handed bat, which is disgraceful. But I'm not going to blame those players, and I'm not going to blame that coaching staff, because they've worked their asses off, and it's been awesome to watch what has transpired here the last 6 to 8 weeks. So hopefully we keep it going today.
Would you hit Rocchio higher in this game, seeing as though he's one of the guys who's been hitting in this lineup a little bit in the second half?
No.
Okay.
I wouldn't. I mean, I just wouldn't. I mean, no. No. To me, the biggest thing about today is Tanner Bibee keeping his emotions in check that first inning. Because I love Bibee. I love his grit. I think he's a warrior. I liked it when he was pissed off in the dugout. I'm okay with all that stuff. He complains a lot about the umpiring, and I just hope he doesn't let that get to him. I mean, we even saw it yesterday with Gavin Williams, who sometimes you got to kick him to make sure he's got a heartbeat out there. So with Bibee, get through the first inning. Don't hang anything to Carpenter, and let's get in the dugout, and it's 0-0 and go from there.
Tanner had some ups and downs this season, but boy, he was sure up late in the season. Chris, what did you see? What did he change?
I don't know. I mean, I think that, you know, I've talked to a lot of guys in the sport. I talked to Lawrence Butler, who's a really fun young player for the not Sacramento Athletics. And he signed like a $60 million extension before the season started. And, you know, Bibee did that right before this year started. And I said, Law, did you feel more pressure after you got the money? He's like, 1,000%. He said, in the beginning, I was just playing about baseball, but now I was like a guy they're relying on. Now there's a dollar figure attached to my name every time I go to the plate. And I wonder if some of that didn't soak in a little bit with Bibee. You know, the minute, particularly in a city like Cleveland, when they give you a $50 million contract, that's a big deal. You know, we don't do it very often. So now you're like, you automatically, based on how he pitched last year and the money you got, and we knew that Bieber was living on a short-term deal anyway, you're like, well, this is the next guy. And that can be an adjustment for some dudes. And this game is constantly about adjusting. Right, Sydney? So that, I think maybe that adds something to do with it. I don't know. I'd be curious to talk to him about it.
Enjoy the game, buddy. Thank you for your time.
Enjoy the next 10 hours.
It's going to be crazy. It's be crazy.
Nuts. Yep, so much fun this time of year.
I'm shocked we didn't get any Shador.
If we didn't have so much baseball today, we would have.
Chris, are we Shador? Are you kidding me? This is the Chafan. This is what we do.
This is the Chafan. Is that a dessert?
See you, buddy.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Bye, guys.
We will get back into some Browns stuff in the 1 o'clock hour. But the Guardians have to win today, or the season is over. And the one thing here, Dano, that gets me on this more than anything is we knew all season long, there was no question, and it was all season, this team struggled to score runs. And yet it was, hey, they're able to somehow figure it out. The pitching's been there. They have timely hitting. They're making nice moves on the bases. They're smart. In a playoff situation, all I keep thinking of is, boy, do they have trouble scoring runs. All that other stuff is kind of out the window here. Can you score runs against good pitching? Yesterday, the answer was no. You put up one run against Tarik Skubal. Casey Mize isn't chopped liver. Can you score runs on Casey Mize?
I hope so. I hope you get more than four balls hit to the outfield. That's for darn sure. I mean, that's what you did yesterday. You hit four balls to the outfield. Three of them were pop-ups, and one of them was a single by Kyle Manzardo. It starts right there. You need to find solid contact. You're not going to find a ton of it because this is the playoffs. But when you do, you have got to absolutely rear back and wallop it. And that's the problem that this Guardians team is going to always run into because they're not built for power. But I still think they can. Because the thing with Mize is Mize only gives you the Tigers typically about six and a third, that kind of thing. He's not going to go through the lineup three times typically. He's not going to be a guy who is mowing people down, which means you're going to see the Tigers bullpen. And if you see that Tigers bullpen, it's shaky on everybody else who isn't named Will Vest. Tommy Kahnle has been shaky with that changeup. Now, if he's got a cooking, good luck.
And he throws it about 90% of the time.
Exactly. Finnegan has been a mess since he came over from the Nationals. He has not been as good as he was as the Nats closer as a Detroit Tiger. You can get to him. There are other guys in that pen that you can get to. The thing you got to do with Mize is work the pitch counts, really get, you know, get a high pitch count on him and get him out of that game and get into the underbelly of that shaky bullpen, because, boy, you can make some noise then.
Rob is in the state of Michigan. Are you a Guardians or a Tigers fan, Rob? And it's okay to be a Tigers fan if you are.
Oh, no, I'm a Guards fan. I'm from there, Jeff. I'm a Cuyahoga Falls grad.
There you go.
Good on you.
Yeah, so as I sit up here watching it, it's just so frustrating to watch Noel at first base. I mean, you know, he can't catch. He falls down. And then behind the plate, and I was listening to Hamilton, and, you know, he's giving him the call, and he's swinging at pitches in the other batter box. And I just thought, you know, why we ran him out there the day before. We ran him out there yesterday. Why is he running him out to first base when he has some other options? You know, namely, Kapis is solid. I just wanted to get your opinion.
The platoon stuff.
All platoon, Rob.
It's all the platoon stuff. They ran out the all-righty lineup to go up against Tarek Skubal. I mean, that's the only thing with it. It made my head spin, too. They love to do the hockey line change, man.
Yeah, man. He just can't, you know, I mean, got to be a super nice guy. But, you know, he's not even making contact with the ball. And then, you know, yesterday, I understand Skubal's really good. And, of course, up here, you know, they all just love – everybody's got a Skubal jersey on up here. And I'm glad they don't have five Skubals. But, you know, I mean – they kept running these guys out, and they're just swinging this, and they're not even taking a pitch. And Hedges, I know I heard you a little bit ago say, you know, you're sure Vogt told him not to swing.
I'm convinced, well, man. You know,
good idea.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that could have went up there and just looked at a few pitches. You know,
that's good managing, Rob, isn't it?
Yeah.
I looked at it yesterday when I was watching the game, and I'm like, they told Austin Hedges, do not let the bat leave your shoulder. And he stood there in that at-bat, and the bat did not leave his shoulder. He worked a full count and got himself a walk. It was fantastic.
Yeah, Skubal was throwing. He was throwing hard, but he was throwing out of the zone a lot.
A lot of high fastballs.
And the guys were just, they were going after
it. My changeup was nasty yesterday,
Rob, thanks,
too.
Buddy. Yeah, Skubal's throwing 101 late in the game.
That changeup was filthy yesterday. But
the platoon stuff, Casey Mize, right-handed pitcher. Mm-hmm. Today's Guardians lineup has 8 left-handed batters and 1 righty.
That's how they play it.
Yeah.
That's how they run the hockey line change and play the platoon advantage. I thought I saw that they've played the most platoons, I think, since it was like the 80s Cardinals or something like that was the only team that played the platoon advantages more than the Guardians have in the playoffs this year. Like, it's something ridiculous like that.
And what does that all mean? It means you don't have starting caliber players. That's what it means. If you have to platoon as frequently as Steven Vogt does, you don't have enough starting caliber position players. It's that simple. And that's what has to change. And, you know, I wish they had had the draft they had this year 2 years ago, where they loaded up on power-hitting college hitters. College hitters, usually a little more polished, usually much closer to the major leagues. In fact, maybe a year away from making an impact. We've seen it to some extent. You know, Nick Kurtz is the obvious, you know, the throwaway there because he's been sensational less than a year after being drafted. Maybe they can get lucky with that, but you got to figure a year or two away. They have to add some bats. That said, that's for down the road.
Our buddy Zach Meisel, the Guardians deployed a platoon advantage in 79% of plate appearances, more than any team in baseball in the last 38 years. The only team that was more, the 1987 St. Louis Cardinals. To get that stat correct.
Yeah, and on one hand you think, hey, way to manage. And on the other you think, hey, sorry you had to manage that way.
Exactly. You can live with that when your platoon is the Naquin Luplo platoon that was in right field that was the equivalent of like the 10th best out right fielder in baseball. That's a great platoon. You want to play that. Yeah. This platoon is like, okay, we'll put these two guys together, and if we get to 25th, life is good.
What's the least of two evils, right?
Okay, exactly.
Well, he'll hit right hand. Got a lefty going.
Right. It's the biggest thing going. I am happy they are doing this, and I hope more than anything that if there is a game three, and I think there will be a game three. I think Guards win today. I think we will see a game three, and if that's the case, put out the best lineup that can the work counts and power hit, and I don't care which hand they decide to hit with.
Agreed.
Just put out the best possible lineup to go against it, and if you need to pinch hit along the way, you can do that.
Be Slade Ciccone against Jack Flaherty if they get to a game three tomorrow.
And Flaherty's only going to go five because that's what he does. I mean, that's the thing with this. You can get to Detroit if you get to the Penn. It's why they think they're going to win today, because they can get to the Penn against Meisel.
Bob's in Akron. Bob.
What's up, Bob? Or Meis, not Meisel.
I've got a question about the batting strategy in that ninth inning yesterday.
Shoot.
When you get Jose Ramirez on third with nobody out, now, I can understand pinch hitting Valera, but couldn't they tell him, we don't need a home run. We just need contact or a fly ball. And he was swinging for the fence on every swing. It's a sin that they couldn't get him home, is what I'm saying.
I think you're right about that. I don't think there's any question. I think Jose made a terrible base running blunder. And yeah. I say that, and I explained why I said that. It's basic baseball stuff, but I understand why he made it. You know, he just watched Valera strike out. He's thinking, I'm on third base. We got to do something here. I'm going on contact. And under normal circumstances, okay, I could see you going on contact and making that work. It just didn't. It didn't. And that you're supposed to let the ball get past the pitcher. And he would, but I'm sure he thought, hey, nobody's hitting the ball. I got to do something here. So he tried to force the issue, Bob. And you could have. And you're welcome. Chris Rose was with us moments ago, and Chris said, you know, I think I would have pinch hit Daniel Schneeman there. I would agree. Instead, you pinch hit a guy who has 16 major league games under his belt.
And I'm okay with Valera swinging for the fence there because you had nobody out in the inning. So that's when you can tell a hitter, hey.
Except for one thing. If you hit the ball to the right side of the infield, you score a run. Put the ball in play.
Do you want to win the game? Or do you want to try to tie the game with small ball? Or do you want to win the game?
The way the Guardians play, I want to try and tie the game with small ball.
I'm good with a guy swinging for the fence to win the game.
Okay, I am too.
Especially with no outs in the inning. That's where you want a guy who's going to swing
too,
for the fence.
Except for one thing. It was George Valera, and he's played in 16 major league games. And I know he has some pop.
Would I have appreciated it more if it was Matt Stairs? Yes.
Get the run home. Get the run home. You had a man on third and nobody out. Don't give away an out. Let me go Menegan.
Yeah.
Outs are precious. Don't give one away.
But
by swinging from your, you know what, trying to hit the ball out.
But we live in a world where you need to be able to hit the ball with some level of authority. We can't just spend the entire game going, well, you know, if you hit it off the pitcher, if you hit it off the plate hard enough, it might pop up into the air and then you could cause chaos.
I'm just saying.
You're just living in luck land.
You got a man on third, nobody out. Get the run in a one-run game. It's the ninth inning.
You had nobody out.
I don't care.
Try to win it.
Try to win it by getting the guy home, and then you have a tie game and one out.
Swing with authority.
Great. Put the ball in play by swinging with authority.
I'm good. If it turned into a single or a double, I would have been all
you
in.
You had a man on third and nobody out.
I just hate the idea that everybody is calling up and going, no, you got to bunt him in. What?
No. Don't bunt him in. Hit the ball to the right side. Hit the ball.
Good. Again, good luck. I would rather
hit the ball.
If he makes a mistake, I would rather have you swinging hard instead of having a mistake and having a hitter then turn around and go, ooh, you know, I could rear back and hit this, or I could just gently hit it to the right side.
Dan, it's being a professional
to the right side.
And nothing against George. You know, George looks like he's an interesting young guy. I'm glad he's here. Let's see what he can do. But and Stephen Vogt doesn't have a whole lot of options. But you've got a guy in Daniel Schneeman who's actually hit some home runs this year as well.
I would have been okay with that. If they would have went Schneeman there, that would have been perfect for what Chris Rose said of, hey, you know, maybe then you could hallucinate the idea of a bunt. But, like, at least then you had somebody who could put the ball in play with some level of success more than George Valera. I would agree with you there. But if I'm putting George Valera in, I'm putting George Valera in because he can hit the ball with power.
Okay. Despite the fact that the sample size is 16 major league games.
I mean, give me people with more of a sample size. This is the Cleveland Guardians.
Schneeman.
Sure, I would have been okay putting him in, but I would have told Daniel Schneeman the same thing, which is go get a hit, keep the rally going, go swing, at least on the first couple, swing and try to win the game.
Could have pinch hit Kafis.
Would have been in. Sounds great.
Instead, you pinch hit him for Arias later.
Another guy with a, you know, who you could tell, hey, go hit the ball with some level of authority.
Ball game starts in about 15 minutes. Browns have made a change at quarterback. Why? Who? And what happens next? We'll hear from Kevin Stefanski. We'll hear from Dylan Gabriel. We'll hear from Joe Flacco. All coming up right here on Baskin and Phelps. Dan Menigan playing the role of Andy Baskin today.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.